Okay, this is message 8 of the conference of a church in Bangkok. And the verses are still Psalm 127 and 128.
Cannot hear the English. The Paul said, until we all arrive at a full-grown man. The church cannot just have a few people grown up into a full-grown man. Paul wanted to see that we all of the churches, would come to the full oneness of the faith. Until we all arrive, the oneness of the faith of a full-grown man. This is what the book of Ephesians tells us. For the brothers and sisters who are relatively new, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Until we all arrive. Till we all arrive, not just a few of us. Even our young people have to grow up. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We all need to have such a hope. We also hope that our young people will grow year by year. Spiritually, you need to grow. This is very important. Otherwise, we don't have a future. The next generation all need to rise up. This is what Paul said here. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that Christ would increase in us. This is very important. That's why we have the songs of ascent, to keep growing, to progress. If the young people would grow up, this is a glory of for the older generation. If the younger ones do not know how to serve, they don't know how to pray, and they're not in oneness, in experiencing the Lord, and they don't live the Lord, and they don't love the Lord, they don't preach the gospel, and they're not strong, and they cannot defeat the enemy, to be a good testimony, to gain people like fish, not using coffee, but if they would trust in the Creator of heaven and earth, and not using the man's methods and manipulation, but if they can be a prayerful person, a praying person, if such young people would rise up, then there's hope for the church. Thank the Lord. Right? You have such a big meeting hall here. You have to fill it. Fill it. Right? Pray. We sing. And those who return from the captivity have to increase. They have to increase. Don't just be content here. Oh, we just are contented here. We come here for some enjoyment and then we go home and we don't care for the others. If so, you're only in level 1. It's just that your feet are standing in there. And you're very happy, you come to the meetings, and then you go home. This is level one. It's the initial experiences of Christ. When you come to the second level, then you will be very solid. It's firmly rooted. You cannot be shaken. You cannot be moved like the Mount Zion. Then the church is not only a meeting place, but you also taste something of the kingdom of God. The Psalms tell us that Mount Zion is the city of our great King. It's the joy of the whole earth. Zion is not a simple thing. Do not think the church is just a place where we come to the meeting, we hear a message, and we say amen, and we go home. No. It's the city of the great King. The joy of the whole earth. The joy of the whole world. This is Mount Zion. It's a city of the King of Kings. His kingdom is there. You have to see this. And then you go up another level. And you know the will of God. When you know the will of God, then you would give yourself to the Lord to cooperate with Him, to serve Him in a good way, and to be laborers together with God, and to know how God wants to build. Now you know the Lord. You know His will. And you know the situation today. You have to see what Babylon is, and what Zion is, and what the church is. Why is the church so important? What is the meaning of the ground of oneness? That we all need to be in harmony, in oneness, and we all have to be fitly joined together, to be built up together. You have to sow in tears. And you also have to know that it is the Lord who builds. And then you have to go to sleep. And then you also have to raise up the next generation. Don't forget that. There's a lot to do. Yes. Thank and praise the Lord. That's why here we need to see. Psalm 127 is very important. I hope that here in Thailand, that here in this country, you can gain a lot of young people, a lot of the young generation at the universities, among your friends. You know, don't just go gain those people who are easy to get. You have to bring in materials for the building. You have to tell the Lord. Paul said, what did Paul say to Timothy? What you have learned of me, you have to teach it to whom? To faithful men. To faithful men. Among the people that you gain, you also need to gain some that are faithful. Did you pray in this way? Lord, you have to gain some that are faithful. Gain some prudent servants. Didn't the Lord Jesus say, who are the faithful and wise servants? If we were to gain 1,000 people, but none of them are wise and faithful, then what? Everywhere we go, you have to pray. You have to say, Lord, where are the people you want to gain? Where are the living stones? The people who are there to build your house. Of course, the Lord was open to everyone when he was on this earth, but he was not loose either. He also gained. Actually, he gained 70. He had 10, 11, and then 70, and then at the Pentecost, there were 120. But those 120 is like the 144,000. One was equal to 10,000. If you gain 10,000, it's better that you just gain one. It's not easy. That is why you need to know the will of God. You have to pray for Thailand. Oh, Father. Father, the ones you want to draw them to the church. The Lord drew some people from Cambodia. Praise the Lord. It's not man's work. It's God's work. It's God's work. But we need to pray. May the Lord have mercy on us. We have to pray well for Thailand, for Cambodia, for Vietnam, for Myanmar, for Laos. We have to pray for them. God's work comes out of prayer. And it also comes out of tears. It comes out of tears. For God's work, for the Lord's testimony, for having sympathy, having compassion for God's people, you have to shed tears. We who have returned, we're happy. But there are many that have not returned yet. Right? Now we come to Psalm 128. We've got to move on a little faster. Here it says, this is the last psalm of the third group. Now you see some who fear the Lord. They not only rely on trust in the Lord, but they fear the Lord. A higher level again. It's an upper level. Of course, many people trust in the Lord because you don't have any other way, so you trust in the Lord. But now you're not just trusting in Him, but you fear Him. You hold Him in awe. You love Him. You respect Him. And you hold Him in awe. You fear Him. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is to be feared. In the book of Hebrews, it says that He is burning fire. He will discipline you. So here you see, blessed are all who fear the Lord. So if you fear Him, you will be one who is obedient to Him, who walk in obedience to Him, or who walks in His ways. You just don't learn a few teachings, but you're one who is obedient to God's word. God's word is not just for you to expound on, to interpret. But God's word is for us to obey and to do accordingly. If you do not obey His word, what do you want to know God's word for? You know it, and yet you don't do it. Well, it's better that you not know it. Truly so. This is what the Lord said. If you know it, and yet you do not do it, you will receive more stripes. If you don't know it, you can still tell the Lord, "Sorry, Lord, I didn't know about it." The Lord would say, "Okay, then I'll give you a fewer stripes." It's not that you won't get stripes, but there'll be less stripes. This is what is said in Luke chapter 12. You can go read it for yourself. But if you know it and yet you do not do it, there will be heavy beating. Amen. We who are in the church need to be those who obey God's word. James also said it. Do not be just be a hearer of the word. I don't know whether you like to hear the word, but everybody's hearing the word. I don't know why you came here. You came to hear the word, hear some teachings. We need to be doers of the word. James said, be a doer of the word. If you want to hear it, then you need to do it. If you have no intention to do it, don't come. Truly so, don't come. Others like to have more people. The more the merrier, but we don't want it. If you don't want to do the word, what do you come here for? You just come here to hear the word? What for? If you hear the word, you need to do it. If you don't want to be a doer of the word, don't come. I'm speaking the truth here. It's good if you don't come, I don't need to come either. Don't think I have nothing to do. What do I come for? You come to give a message? You've got the wrong person. So you need to be one who will walk in His ways. Then you're blessed. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. NIV. Thank and praise the Lord. You have to eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Thank the Lord. Amen. In the church life, if we are faithful, and we are here doing the Lord's building in a good way, definitely the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. It doesn't mean that you're going to get rich. The Lord is not going to make you rich or prosper. Whether you get rich or not doesn't matter. But in any event, you will get the Lord's blessings. Especially the heavenly and spiritual blessings. Definitely the Lord will give them to you. The Father will give you all the heavenly and spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Here it also says your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Thank you. Your children will be like olive shoots, olive plants around your table. That's not bad. Thank the Lord. Right? The Lord's blessings will be on your whole family. Actually, here it speaks of our Lord Jesus, that he is a person who was fully obedient to God's word. There is no one who is like our Lord Jesus when he came to this earth. He fully obeyed God's word. He was obedient all the way to the cross. And therefore, what happened? Therefore, God's blessing came upon him. You see, the church of the Lord, he gained so many people, right? He gained so many. We are all here because we were saved because of him. In God's house, there are so many children, so many sons. We are like olive shoots, plants, planted in God's house. Spiritually, we see. If the church is normal, the church would be like a vine with much fruit. It's unfortunate that we're not normal. We're not normal. Our condition is not normal. If our condition were normal, the church would have increased. Besides, our young people will be full of life, like olive trees. This is the blessing of the church. Our personal family should also have such blessings. Thank and praise the Lord. Besides, it says, behold, thus shall be the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Say, yes, in NIV, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. You see how this blessing is. It says your wife will be like a fruitful vine, and your children will be like olive shoots, all healthy, all beautiful. This is a beautiful picture, full of life. Such blessing is in the church today. May the Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. You see that these blessings come out of Zion. Besides, it's for the benefit of Zion. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do we have such a heart? The blessings come from Zion. So if God's church is normal today, then there'll be lots of blessings in the church life, and it would also come upon us. Our entire life, all our life, will see the prosperity of Jerusalem. Amen. So when we come to this level, you are truly a person fully for the church life. You live for God's will. Just like the Lord Jesus when he came to this earth, he was fully there for God's will. He was not there for himself. Today we here, many of us are just here for ourselves. We have to be for the will of God. Amen. God needs such a people. The church is not for you. The church is for him. If you are for him, automatically you will get his blessing. Thank the Lord. Isn't that right? Especially spiritual blessings. For earthly blessings, the Lord knows all your needs. You need to work. You don't need to worry about them. What we need to gain is spiritual blessings. Truly so, brothers and sisters. If you receive this heavenly blessings, the Lord will add unto you all the earthly blessings. If you are just for earthly blessings, definitely you will not get this the heavenly blessings. Amen. So the book of Ephesians tells us that the Father will bless you with all the heavenly and spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Besides these blessings, will build up the house of God and build up the church of God and build up God's kingdom. Besides, it's not for just for one generation. And may you live to see your children's children, not just one generation or two generations, three generations. Generation after generation, four generations, not bad. You brothers, have you thought of the fourth generation? From generation to generation, we have to look further ahead. We have to look further ahead. That is why the blessings upon the church should be from generation to generation. Not just your children, but the children of your children and the children of your children of your children of your children. It should go down, go on from one generation to another. If you lose your children, they don't love the Lord, they don't love the church, they go into the world, you need to shed tears for them and repent. That is why, thank and praise the Lord, we have to ascend to the third level. Now we come to the fourth level. Amen. The fourth level, take a look at the outline here. Reaching maturity through sufferings. You're fully perfected. If you want to grow spiritually, you not only have to enjoy the Lord, enjoying the Lord is just one aspect. We see in the principle of the Bible that it's not the enjoyment that makes you mature, but it's the sufferings. It's just through the sufferings that you can mature. In the past 40 years, as they're enjoying this, enjoying that, enjoying and enjoying, you enjoy to the extent that everybody is so thin. You don't have some, there's no growth at all. You're still children, still naughty children, messing around. They want to be kings. That kind of enjoyment cannot cause the brothers and sisters to mature in life. Even our Lord Jesus, have you not read in Hebrews chapter 5, how was our Lord perfected? Through His sufferings. That is why you should not spoil your children. You don't want the children to suffer. Oh, you don't want the children to suffer. Everybody is well nourished and chubby. And you don't even want to spank them. They just know how to eat and drink and enjoy life. Of course, they would also grow up. They would grow up in any case. But they are not mature. Maturity is a different matter. That's why I don't just talk about enjoyment and enjoyment. Who says that there is only enjoyment in the Bible? Of course, there also is. But do you enjoy, just have enjoyment every day? I tell you, you won't be healthy. You need to suffer. A truly spiritual person has to go through suffering. That is why it's God's wisdom that He gives us a lot of sufferings. There's also this dragon, this serpent, there's still the powers of darkness. And there's so such fleshly people. Why? Because without them, would you get matured? Without those things, you will not be able to learn your lesson and grow. The growth of a Christian is not that, oh, you just gain a lot of knowledge and then you grow. It only causes you to be arrogant and proud. But if you want growth in life, you have to come to a fourth level. Because without the pressure, without the sufferings, there's no way. We fallen people, there's no way for us to be molded, to be conformed to Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ. I don't believe that a person who has not gone through trials and sufferings, that he could be conformed to the image of Christ. I have to go through fire. Even Peter said. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter said that our faith has to be tried by fire. That it would become more precious than pure gold. there's so many contaminated, so many mixtures in the gold, there's no way for it to be pure gold. If we, the fallen people, do not go through sufferings, you won't change. You'll be the same old you. That's why even our Lord Jesus, He had to go through sufferings more than anybody else. But He had to go through this way so that He could be perfected and become the captain of our salvation. Do you think that the Lord does not need the sufferings and then He can just become the captain of our salvation? If He could, then He did not have to become man. So brothers and sisters, do not fear sufferings and trials. And do not like comfort so much. You just want to enjoy, relax and be comfortable. It's okay. Occasionally, it's okay to be comfortable. But you're just in your comfort zone every day. And you want to be enjoying every day. It's not good. We Christians, for the sake of the church, we need to be a person who is willing to suffer. If you don't know how to suffer, you will not become a useful person for the building. If people say something to you, then you just get angry. You can't take it. You just say something to me and I can take it. Then what? You can't even take a wee bit of suffering. When people say something to you, then you cannot fall asleep for a few days. And you don't talk to me anymore. Oh dear. Then what? It cannot be this way. We need to be perfected. That is why level 4 is very important. Reaching maturity through sufferings. I really like this. It's fourth level. So in Psalm 129 it says here, it says, no matter what kind of sufferings, it cannot overcome the church. It says, unending afflictions cannot prevail against the church. That means to say the church needs sufferings. Of course, the church definitely has God's blessings. But on the other hand, there are afflictions, there are sufferings. I really thank and praise the Lord. This is what we need. Our brothers and sisters, let's come to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 24, right? Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you. I rejoice in my sufferings for you. Do you have this? You rejoice? You have joy in your sufferings? Would you? Johannes? If you're suffering, would you be joyful? No? If you cannot be joyful in your sufferings, then you have not learned a good lesson yet. You have to learn the lesson until you can rejoice in your sufferings. Then you've learned your lesson. Paul could rejoice in his sufferings because he was suffering for Christ's sake, and he was suffering for the church and for the brothers and sisters. If you suffer in such a way, definitely you will rejoice. But if you have not seen this, you suffer, you will not rejoice. You will complain. You say, why does it have to be this way? Why did this happen to me? Why doesn't he understand me? This and this and that. There's no joy. But if you have this concept, for the sake of the church, you will rejoice. You will thank and praise the Lord. This is what Paul tells us here. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking of the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. The lack. The church in Bangkok, are you filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ? If this is the case, you have joy within you. Really so. You know, brothers and sisters, in the past few years, we've gone through a lot of difficulties. Let me ask you, do you have joy? You should say amen. Because the passage of that experience causes the church to mature. Although there are a lot of difficulties, but without the difficulties through that period, we would not understand the scripture today. You can only understand some teachings. Today we are a bit more mature inwardly. Why? Because we went through that period of difficulties and sufferings, the trials. That is why when I think back, I do praise the Lord. The Lord can be my witness. I do not have any bitterness within me. I do not have the root of bitterness within me. The bitterness that's mentioned in the book of Hebrews. But I'm full of thanks and praise to the Lord. I even told another brother, if you see such a brother, so and so, you should thank him for me. Because the difficulties that he has caused me helps me to enter into the kingdom of heavens. Without him, perhaps I could not enter in. But it's because of him that I can enter in. That is why I'm very joyful. Because the difficulties, the problems, the afflictions, it's like trial by fire. All this is for your good. This is what God has arranged. Besides, today, here in the church, if we truly see the church, you have to be a person who fills up in your flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body. The more you grow in life, the more you will be able to receive this kind of suffering. So on the other hand, it seems like it's the enemy who is doing that. No matter what kind of difficulties, it's all difficulties are there to perfect us. So let's come to the Psalms, because we're running out of time. We come to Psalm 129. Let Israel say, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth. From my youth, they have greatly oppressed me. Thank the Lord, but they did not overcome me. They did not beat me. But they have not gained the victory over me. Paul mentioned a lot of the sufferings that he went through. But he said, no matter how difficult, he's still alive. But they did not prevail against him. Thank and praise the Lord, because the Lord is with us. We trust in the Lord. And God will not allow us to suffer excessively. Don't worry. Like the plowmen have plowed my back. Do you like someone to be plowing on your back? Lord. A plowman have plowed my back and made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. The Lord knows your need. The Lord knows how much you need and how much you can take. But as you go through, you need to learn to trust in Him. You don't need to complain. You just need to turn to Him. When this person comes to the fourth level, he has learned to trust in the Lord. If you have not yet learned to trust in the Lord, when you go through difficulties, you will be weeping, but you're weeping for yourself. You will keep complaining and you will keep scolding others. I've seen this. But if you trust in the Lord and you receive it, take it as from the Lord. Thank and praise the Lord. You'll be blessed. Because you will mature through this. And then verse 5 it says, may all who hate Zion turn back and be turned back in shame. How come in verse 5 suddenly it says this? Because the enemy gives you problems in order to hinder us from building up Zion. Today we're for the church. Do not think that the enemy will say, fine, fine, I'll let you go build. You want to build the church? The problems will come. And the enemy will come. They are like the plowmen, the plowers, plowing on your back, causing problems to you, oppressing you. Because the enemy hates Zion. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. So from this you see our suffering today. You should not just be suffering, but if you suffer, you should suffer with a goal. Do not suffer in vain. Amen. You have to suffer for the sake of Zion. The enemy wants to oppress you, also because the enemy wants to damage Zion. It's all for Zion. If you don't want the church, the enemy doesn't care for you. But if you want to build up the church, the gates of Hades will rise up. It's not simple. That is why the second part just curses those who hate Zion. They will all fall back in shame. They'll be turned back in shame. And before they even grow, they would wither up. It's like the grass that grows on a rooftop. Once the sun comes out, it'll dry up. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor one who gathers fill his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, "The blessing of the Lord be on you." Do not be so quick to say, "Oh, may the Lord bless you." In Christianity, people like to say, "God bless, God bless." Don't be so quick to say that. For those who hate Zion, would you still say, "God bless"? You have to say, "Oh, they will wither away before they grow." Don't say, "The blessing of the Lord be with you." And don't neither say, "You know, we bless you in the name of the Lord." Do not give blessings loosely. Zion is too important. But you need to know, all those who want to build the church, Zion is here. If Zion is here, then the enemy, the powers of darkness, the gates of Hades, they will all rise up. This is normal. This is normal. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid of it. Just suffer. That's good enough. Hallelujah. And then in Psalm 130, we go on. "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord." Now your crying is out of the depths. You see, from level to level. is different from before. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy, to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? Now, at this point, you know the deep things within you even more. All the sins that are hidden within you are all exposed. You have a strong feeling against sin. If a spiritual person does not have any sense or feeling for sin, then he is not a spiritual person. If you deceive others, you cheat others, how can you be spiritual? Oh, all the sins happen right before you and you have no feeling about it. How can you be spiritual? We're a deceiver. Do not think that you can really preach. You can give messages and you don't need to care about the other things. We come to the fourth level. After this is said, Lord, if you kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? How could I stand? You have to forgive me. You have to cleanse me. You have to save me. You have to save me to the uttermost. It's like this. The more spiritual you are, the more sensitive you are to sin. That's why it says here, but with you, there is forgiveness. So that we can, with reverence, serve you. Why would you want people to fear him? Because if your sins were truly forgiven, you know that you should die. Do not think that a sin is a small matter. Sin is a terrible thing. If God really forgave you, then you need to fear and not sin again. You need to repent. The Lord forgave you and yet you continue to sin. And you come back again tomorrow and says, Lord, forgive me, and you go back to sin again. Do you not fear God? After receiving the forgiveness, you need to fear the Lord. Do not go sin again. When the Lord forgives people, he would always add a word to it. He says, go and sin no more. That's why you were forgiven, so that you would fear God. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. Amen. On one hand, we need to remove all the leaven and the sin within us. A person who does not deal with sin cannot grow in life. Of course, your knowledge would grow, but you will not grow in life. After receiving forgiveness, you still have to learn to wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. And put And in His Word, I put my hope. He says, your soul has to wait for the Lord. This is the normal situation. The Lord has to speak to you. As a Christian, without hearing the Lord speaking, and the Lord does not speak to you within, it's no good. You have to hear the word of the Lord speak to you often. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. He repeated this. He said this twice. If you are not a watchman, if you're not a night guard, if you're not a night guard, you don't know how these night guards really are waiting and hoping for the morning. Because you cannot fall asleep, you're just standing there watching. You're on the watch. That is why, you know, the night guard would also will always be watching for the day to break. Do you sometimes not fall asleep and you're just lying there the whole night? He says, how come the day doesn't break and you're waiting for the day to break? So when you wait on the Lord, your heart, your whole being is waiting on Him. Are you waiting on the Lord in such a way to say, Lord, how come you have not appeared to me yet? Why not? How long do I have to wait? Do we have such a heart that pursues the Lord? If you pursue the Lord, you need to have such a heart. It's not that you just, when you read the Bible, oh, you feel bothered and you don't know what it is, and so you flip some other books to see, oh, what does this mean? You just go read that, something, some kind of a Bible study, life study, you know. Okay, I understand. Oh, you already understand the word like that, so why would the Lord have to speak to you if you already understand it in that way? You might as well just go read that stuff. I want this living God to come speak to me. Does your wife speak to you through emails all the time? She doesn't talk to you? In the morning, the email comes, good morning. And you read it and say, oh, my wife says good morning. Do you like this? Our God is living. He is a speaking God. It's not good if he does not speak to you. That's why our heart needs to long for Him in such a way. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. That means that He will save us to the uttermost. And in the end, and then it says, then it goes on to say, oh, my heart is not haughty. In Psalm 131. You know, the proud person is haughty. Now what does he say? My heart is not haughty. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Oh, he changed now. Is that good? He changed. Hallelujah. He truly had changed. When you come to this level, if you're still proud, you are not at the fourth level. In the past, you were way up there. You're so proud because you thought you knew everything. Neither do I concern myself with great matters or things that are too profound for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. There's a great change. Did the Lord Jesus not say that we have to turn back? We have to change to become, what, PhDs? Like a PhD from Germany? Do you want to be a doctor? A PhD? Or do you want to be a child that's just weaned from the mother's milk? Which is easier? To become like a weaned child from its mother. You think that's easy? It's not easy. To get one doctor's degree, two doctor's degree, it's easy. But to become a weaned child, the Lord said, if you do not become like a child, can you get into the kingdom? So here he truly changed. The Holy Spirit is working within us to change our person. From a proud person to someone who does not think that he is anything. He has calmed and quieted himself. He's calm and quiet. Like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Truly like a weaned child. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. That's why here it says your soul life has changed. You have been saved. You have been transformed. Have you reached this level? Our natural concept is that the more you grow, the stronger you get. In the end, you're like Hercules, a strong man. But it's strange. But in the Song of Ascents, when you come to the fourth level, you become a little child. Angie, is that a good thing? To become a good to become a little child? Do not look down on this little child. This child is in God's bosom. He's fully resting in the Lord. Saved by the Lord. Hallelujah. We should grow up to this stage. This is the fourth level. After going through so much difficulties and sufferings and afflictions and so much pressure, and the enemy thought that he won. He doesn't have to hinder you anymore. Not knowing that the more afflictions he causes, the more you mature. Satan is really foolish. He thought that if he gave you afflictions to hurt you, to damage you, to hinder you, to destroy the church. But not knowing he's a great help for God's building. All these his efforts are used to perfect you. Tell me, is there any benefit of having Satan? Well, certainly. Satan is a benefit to us. That is why now you understand why Satan is still around. Don't be afraid of him. You have to thank the Lord. Thank and praise you, Lord. Lord, I thank and praise you. You prepared such a good tool in order to perfect me. Thank the Lord. This is the path, the way we go in the church. That is why, brothers and sisters, when you come to this extent, you will not be afraid of difficulties. You don't need to fear problems. Let the problems come. Let them come. Let people oppress you and step all over you. The prophets all said, the Lord said, the enemy would oppress you and let people step all over you. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you? Yes. He has a vision. He is willing to go to the fourth level. Did the Lord Jesus not get stepped on by people? Yes, he went through all kinds of difficulties. Today it's our turn. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen.